This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1.
Welcome in the next 60 minutes. Everything you need for a complete weekend of sporting action ahead. For the Red Army, down but not out. A 2-0 defeat from La Liga opponents Real Sociedad. The morning after the night before, we look back at the match and hear from the boss and the team as they now prepare for the home leg this coming Thursday. We're with Peter Head, the Highland League and juniors soon. Plus, will Clyde the Mascot and Usain Bolt come to blows at Hampden Park tonight at the Games? We'll check in at Glasgow 2014. It's all here between now and 7 when Stu's back for In Demand.
This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1 with John Mellis, Dave McDermott and Dave Galloway.
First, though, as always, to the Dons and boss Derek McInnes following that 2-0 defeat in San Sebastian last night to Real Sociedad.
We're up against a level of opponent who really tested us. Tested our bravery on the ball. They tested us with their movement ahead of the ball. When you make a decision as a team whether to go and press high or you stand off them, they make you make decisions because their movement was so good. And I felt that half time, although Jamie Langfield hasn't had a save to make, it was a tough 45 minutes. Certainly, I thought we started all right. First 15 minutes was okay. We got the ball side to side well and worked around the shape as we tried to do. And I thought, certainly up until 5 minutes before half time, that period in between that, I thought Real Sociedad were really well on top of us with the ball and against the ball and forcing mistakes. So they're a clever team, they're a good team, and they really tested us today. I thought going in at 0-0 at half time, we've got to be pleased with that considering the amount of dominance they had. And our opportunities were few and far between. And I think the two goals, I think it was around about 60, 65 minutes before James got his first save to make. But the two goals for us are avoidable. I think we can clear the first one, certainly. And on the second one, it's a terrific strike from Canales. No back lift. There's no real chance to put pressure on the ball, really. And sometimes you just got to applaud good individual play, and that's what that was. We then do what we can to try and get an away goal because we know the importance of that, and we were a bit more threatening in that last 20 minutes. But I applaud my players for their efforts. Domestically, we will not be dominated like that, and we haven't been dominated domestically like that. And we've got a lot of frustrated boys because we thought we could come here and get a result, but it is only half time. And we'll try and improve and learn from tonight, get into next week's game.
Disappointment clearly and understandably in the voice of Derek McInnes, and so too Captain Russell Anderson, but hope for the week ahead also.
It's a long 90 minutes to be trying to keep out a team like that. I think if we'd retained possession of the ball a little bit better, it might have helped us a fair bit more when it came to stopping the flow of play that they had. I think we need to really try and get the Aberdeen support behind us and make it as intimidating an atmosphere as possible. They're all experienced players, they'll be used to that kind of thing. But if we can get the support behind us early doors and take the game to them, then hopefully if we manage to score a goal, then it'll give us the spring to really kick on. I think the manager will pick the bones out of the performance and the result tonight, and I'm sure come Monday he'll have a plan in mind of how the best way is to tackle them at home next week. I thought we were disciplined in terms of our defensive side, but we had to be. But the disappointing thing was, like I say, we didn't retain possession as well as we would have liked. It didn't give us a chance to get up the pitch and really get at them. So that's something that we'll probably look to try and improve on next week.
Evening, you're North Sound 1's Friday Sport. I'm John Mellis. Joining me as always, Dave's McDermott and Galloway. Dave Mack, I'll come to you first. I think that we all hoped for better, but possibly quite a few of us maybe dreaded worse. In the cold light today, it's not as bad as it could have been, is it?
No, it's the objective, certainly from most people's point of view, was to keep the tie alive. For next Thursday, and that's job done from that point of view. Yes, it was disappointing to lose the goals we lost, but I think we've got to remember that this was a very big step up from Groningen, who in turn were obviously a step up from the round before. But this is a team that beat beat Barcelona 3-1 on the same ground last season. They beat Real Madrid last season. So
the schoolboy stat's going to say that we could now go and beat
Real
and Barcelona.
Just saying that 2-0.
That'd be good.
You know, given where we were in our last European adventure, if you remember, we lost 8-1 over two legs to a team that we'd never heard of before or since.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we have come a long, long way. There's a belief. There's a real optimism. And yes, the tie is still not dead. It promises to be a fantastic European night, hopefully one that will live long in the memories on Thursday. But even if we do go out, I would suggest that this has been a successful campaign, which will stand us in great stead going into the start of the SPL Premiership campaign a week on Sunday. So, but no, it's by no means dead. And again, we'll have to watch that we don't go gung-ho from the word go and lose a third goal, because if they were to get an away goal, then you think they can safely say the tie is dead. But if we were, you know, the ideal scenario, get an early goal, the crowd are going to be right up for it. It's a far, far different atmosphere at Pittodrie, where the fans are a lot closer to the action than we were. Certainly, we were about 3 miles away last night.
A different town.
Yeah, exactly. So it was like the scenes for a concert when you're in row ZZ, which I once was for Wishbone Ash in 1973. But anyway, that's another story.
Not half.
But we were miles away. Thankfully, we had monitors that could help us. But it's not dead. And again, I'm hoping that save late on by Jamie when the sub was through 1-1, I'm hoping that will prove pivotal when we get to come to Pittodrie on Thursday. But it's one where everybody's got a part to play, and not least the fans. So looking forward to it.
At times earlier in the match last night, before Real started to find their rhythm, I thought that we looked a little as though we were fearful of their pedigree more than their class tonight. Russell spoke about our possession play not being as good as it could be, and he's probably right. We didn't look as crisp as we have done other times, Dave. Is that simply down to the fact that we're playing better opposition?
I think so. Like you have touched on already, John, it was a couple of steps up in class compared with Groningen. We've got to look on this in a positive way. We were given a bit of a lesson. They definitely outclassed us, but our spirit and our determination was very good, and I'm sure we'll be a better team for it. And there will be bits and pieces that we can take from that game, despite a 2-0 defeat, into the next leg at Pittodrie.
Having said all that and the defeat and it being disappointing, I thought our defence, marshalled by Russell, had generally speaking a pretty good game. I mean, as the game went on, they tired, but I thought they did all right, Russell particularly.
Russell was immense. I thought in the first half in particular, we gave away possession far too much, and that's something that we've not been guilty of. And I think perhaps we were a wee bit overawed by the occasion. But ironically, we came in with the everything intact at the interval. We can play better. There's no doubt about it. So, and I'm sure we will on Thursday, because the guys, you heard the disappointment in Russell's voice, in Derek's voice. We'll hear it from the other players as well. The genuine, and that's what I'm saying, the belief was that we were going to get a result. So the guys were disappointed, and they're still determined to put it right. But as I say, this is a team that are being tipped to win the Europa Cup this year, so they are no mugs whatsoever. We said at the time when we got Groningen in the second qualifiers, that was the worst draw, the hardest draw possible. We managed to dispatch them, and Sociedad was the hardest draw in the third qualifying. Mm. Absolutely. If the adventure continues, brilliant. But I think even if it doesn't, the fans have had three fantastic trips away. They've had more European nights. That's what it's all about. We want, and of course, we're greedy. But they're back, and as the manager said in the pre-match press conference, we don't want this to just be a one-off. We want this to be the norm for Aberdeen, and there is absolutely no reason why it shouldn't be.
You're on the official station, The Dons, North Sun 1. In a moment, we'll hear from Willow Flood and Mark Reynolds and ask our experts whether they believe the Dons can claw their way back into contention to progress in the tie. Fingers crossed. Just ahead on North Sun 1's Friday Sport.
North Sound 1 Friday Sport with Dunlop Oil and Marine. Specialist hose integrity management services for the oil, gas and petrochemical industries.
North Sound 1 with the best preview of the weekend's sport action across the northeast of Scotland and beyond. This is Friday Sport.
Chatting here to Dave for Red TV and North Sound 1's Friday Sport. The Don's Willow Flood, and first, Mark Reynolds.
2-0 is dangerous, and if we get an early goal, it changes the complexion of the tie. And although the away goal for them will be dangerous, and have a big say, if we can keep it tight and get an early goal, then you never know what will happen.
And the fans tonight, there was less than 500 of them, but we were over on the other side of the ground. We could hear them loud and clear.
No matter how little or how much there is, they always make great noise, and they're always in great voice, and it's much appreciated. They travel far and wide, and this is also the third away European tie, and it's hard for people to get away so often from the work and they pay for it. So no, we much appreciate everything they do for us in coming away and being in such great voice right to the end. And even when we go and applaud them at the end for coming, they were in great voice and great song, so it's a bonus and a boost for us.
I think they all realised everybody gave 100%, and it's now down to next Thursday, as you say, an early goal, and everything could change.
No, exactly, we just need to go, and we know a lot more about them, obviously know a lot more about us, but I think we'll be more prepared. We know what we're in for. I think our legs lasted well over 90 minutes. We know we're fit enough to play against them, and we just need to lift our game a wee bit more on the ball and try and create more chances, and hopefully if we get the early goal or we get the two goals, and we never know what will happen in the tie.
Probably the hardest 90 minutes I've played in my football career, and to be fair, they were a top team. But you know what, it's only half time now. We bring them back to Pataudry, and I'm sure we'll have a right go at them, and let's see where it takes us.
In the first half, I thought we started pretty well, but then they, of course, I haven't seen the possession stats, but we did very well despite the fact that we had very little possession in the second part of the first half.
Yeah, we had a few little breaks, but I thought the last 20 minutes we actually looked like scoring the goal, you know. I thought, to be fair, good Willie and Nicky gave us a lift when they came on, and the gaffer changed one or two things, and to be fair, fair play to the lads, they made a difference when they came on, so good for them, and it actually helped us a lot in the game.
As you say, it's only half time, and the save from Jamie Langfield hopefully will prove to be crucial.
Yeah, hopefully. Langfield has obviously pulled off a few of them this season already, and let's hope he can deal for the rest of the season again.
The question was raised there about possession. It was resoundingly in favour of Real Sociedad. We were nervous a little bit about the heat playing a part in advance of the tie, but it's also really tiring, almost constantly defending, isn't it? We have to go for it next week from the get-go, although you're saying let's not be gung-ho about it. How do you think Sociedad will want to play? Will they sit in, or will they go for that killer away goal?
I think they'll sit in to a point. The onus is on us to, as you say, have a go. But they will be dangerous on the break. I thought Finn Bogason looked a bit rusty. I thought his touch wasn't brilliant. Hopefully that...
Worryingly, this is them starting their season.
Exactly, which is why... That's one of the reasons why I don't think the tie is
a good
dead.
Time to get them. Yeah.
The next goal is, I mean, let's make no bones, the next goal in this this tie is absolutely
that'll decide
fundamental.
Yeah.
I thought last night, particularly in the first half, that Sociedad did to us what we did to Groningen 7 days previously, which was just close down, harass, you know, just working for each other, not giving any of our players any time on the ball. And I think that's why we lost possession a lot more cheaply than we've been doing this season. So it was a bit of a lesson, but we've come out with the tie still alive. And that's, you know, the point I made at the start. That was the number one objective. And, you know, we've got players capable of breaking them down. There's no doubt about that. There was one late on where there was an offside given against Adam, I think it was, which I thought was quite tight. It's still alive. But in answer to the question, I think they will sit in, but they will also be very dangerous. They'll be very keen to try and get what would be a killer away goal.
But you're talking about the pressing game, and I think this is telling of good Spanish teams. You know, people always talk about how well they pass the ball and how great they are on the ball. I think good Spanish teams work really hard off the ball, the way that they press. You're talking about it there. You don't think that they're going to come and do that as much?
Not as much, but that's not to say it's going to be Alison, but I think it's also a game that we're very good at, but I don't think we were allowed to get that side of our game going because we didn't have the possession or enough possession, and we were being sort of rushed into making mistakes. But you hope with the crowd behind us, and it will be, you know, everybody, as I said, has got a role to play, and the crowd will be crucial on Thursday night. And as the guys were you know, they all mentioned how fantastic home and away that they've been in this European run so far. It's going to be another biggie on Thursday, which I'm looking forward to.
You know, I'm going to be honest, right? I don't see us scoring three times against them. Not in regulation time. I don't see it. That said, we don't really have much of a clue as to how shaky their defence may or not be, because we didn't get much of a chance to test it. I could see us possibly drawing level. How do you see things going, Dave? I mean, how crucial is it that we score early as well?
I think getting an early goal is pretty crucial, because Real Sociedad, you know, say if we don't get a goal in the first 20 minutes, Real Sociedad will grow and grow in confidence. If we get a goal in the first 20 minutes, I think they'll be rattled. The crowd will be right behind us. It'll be a full house. Pittodrie will be absolutely rocking. And it could turn out to be one of those magnificent European nights at Pittodrie that we've become so accustomed to over the years.
Arguably, that's the Gmolimich one that we're forgetting.
I'm blanking that one out.
It's on Mark.
Don't want to think about that.
Ribena Berry impersonation, the head going slowly purple. arguably, of the Scottish teams still in Europe, we're probably the best place to go through. I mean, St Johnstone not looking good after last night's defeat. Celtic could make it, but they've got to score three times at least at Murrayfield. We can't be too down on ourselves, Dave, can we?
No, I think we are. If you ask the managers, they would rather be in the position that Aberdeen are in than any of the others, going into a home leg with a 4-1 deficit, having to score so many goals. You do have to really go for it from the word go. That can leave you short at the back. St Johnstone, they've got two. What's their? I can't remember their name. But you were there, Dave. What's their name? Not St Johnstone. The other one's
Trnava. Trnava.
Spartak Trnava. I've got two away goals, so that's going to be very, very difficult. I do hope that Saints do it. I really do. But I think we are in the best position. But it's going to be mightily hard, no doubt about it. And Sociedad, odds-on favourites. You'll get very long odds for Aberdeen, but you know,
I've tried to find them.
I'm not allowed to bet, obviously. Stranger things have happened
on forums. You're not allowed to bet. That's not what the Latvian guys said.
that was different.
On forums,
Rooney hat trick.
You'll see some fans discussing the prospect of playing with two up front and changing things. Do you think the manager will change anything much for the tie at home in terms of the structure? I mean, obviously he wants to have a go, but will the formation change, the shape change to 4-4-2?
Simple answer, I don't know, because Derek does keep his tactical cards extremely close to his chest. He may do. Personally, I would be not surprised at all if he starts with just the David Goodwillie on the bench and Adam Rooney.
I would be
up front.
Astonished if he starts with two. I would be astonished, I have to be honest.
And I think we will look again to make our pace count a bit more than we did last night. And that could mean a bit more forward role for Johnny Hayes. Mm-hmm. Peter Pollock had a quiet game by his own high standards last night.
Yep.
Looking for big things from Peter. And again, in the middle of the park, Ryan had a fairly quiet game because he's been absolutely outstanding. But again, you know, the guys gave 110% and they were up against a quality team who didn't allow us to play the way we wanted to.
We say Thursday's crowd has a huge part to play along with all players. How's Thursday's crowd looking?
Looking
right now?
Good. The cut-off for season ticket holders to claim their own seats was brought forward. Originally it was going to be Monday, been brought forward to lunchtime tomorrow. So we'll get a clearer idea. But the message is, if you want to go along on Thursday, I would get your ticket as quickly as possible. Otherwise, prepare to be disappointed.
Yeah, so as soon as it opens up to you, whatever situation you're in, as soon as it opens up to you, get there.
Yeah. And it will be rocking. And I think everybody realises it's going to be a hard ask, but at 2-0, it's possible.
It's not undoable, to use a football term. Teams for Thursday, not so much a predictor, Derek, but if you're going to change anyone, what do you think might switch?
The one change I think might be
Andy
coming in because we've got to make sure that we keep the defence tight. But I think we could do with Johnny a
further
bit more further up the park.
Yeah.
I think other than that, can't see too many changes.
Okay, Dave.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. This is not the time for wholesale changes, and I'm sure there will be fans saying, you know, let's really go out on attack, let's really go for the jugular. But if you do that against a team of Real Sociedad's caliber, they'll tear you apart.
So Considine in, or just?
Yeah, I would tend to agree with what Dave said. Just a little tweak.
Who's dropping out?
I think perhaps difficult to know. A lot will depend on who's maybe carrying Knox. And but again, you know, having Barry on the bench when he came on against Groningen last week, he kind of that snuffed out any comeback from them because he was able to just dictate the middle of the park.
Yeah, he came in at exactly the right time. Absolutely. In terms of, you know, here comes the guy that if ever you didn't want someone coming off a bench, and it's not necessarily for his play, but also his attitude and what he does.
And his ability just to hold on to the ball and win free kicks because of the way he shields the ball and defenders, midfield play, they come in and they make the challenge that results in more time being eaten away. And you just saw that the shoulders of the Dutch players just started to slump as you know, the longer that game went on.
And just be he comes on off that bench and just is a niggly, annoying so-and-so to play against. Isn't
brilliant
he?
To have in your team.
Exactly.
Horrible to be when
hated
it's
playing
against your
him.
Team, yes.
But he's ours now.
And Willow was exactly the same.
Score predictions for Thursday then.
5-0. No.
It's a Real, yeah.
No, I think I would agree with Dave that, you know, if we get 2-0, and take it into extra time in front of our fans, and then perhaps...
That was me that said that.
Or was it? Yeah. Then perhaps...
I was actually going to say that, but carry on.
Get a third... I'd rather not go to the dreaded penalty kicks, but...
Neither would Stuart.
But I'd rather go to penalty kicks and be knocked out before then. So,
yes, okay.
3-0 after extra time.
Right, okay. And Dave?
Yeah, I'll have some of that. I think it sounds a much simpler target. Just, you know, break it down into easy tasks.
Doable chunks. One
doable
goal each
little
half,
chunks.
One in the extra 30 minutes.
That's it. You've got 90 minutes to score 2 goals and not concede any, and then you start again in extra time.
How hard can it be?
Three of us are about to predict an Aberdeen victory over Real Sociedad. Well,
I know.
Vans are going to pull up outside the front door.
Remember we pest Doza?
Indeed, Mark McGee hat-trick in that one.
Yes. And he got the goal that took the game into extra time. I think that was 3 minutes from the end, the 87th minute. Then it went into extra time.
We've mentioned Mark McGee 3 times in half an hour on Friday's Sport.
That was the first positive.
He was a great player. He was a great player.
No one's denying that.
He was a great player.
I reckon 2-2 full-time and... possibly penalties. But if it's penalties in front of the RGS, I don't care. I think we go through in that. 2-2 full-time, extra time winner scored by Good Willie. There you go. Leave me, a boy can dream. You're not so much Friday Sport, ahead of 7. Just 1 week ago, we all watched on TV as a Malaysian dignitary and the Queen tried to wrestle the top off the baton that she'd superglued shut before Chris Hoy came to the rescue and all that as we were still trying to get over the John Barrowman opener. 1 week on, we've seen some amazing feats, not just from Team Scotland, and there's still more to come this weekend. Look at the latest from Glasgow 2014 shortly after more football news coming up on North Sound 1's Friday Sport.
North Sound 1, the official station of the Dons. Keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie. This is Friday Sport.
Now, just briefly before we get on to other news, as far as tickets are concerned for that game on Thursday, Dave, slight updates to what we mentioned a moment or two ago.
The lunchtime tomorrow for season ticket holders to book their own seats thereafter from 3 o'clock online on afc.co.uk/etickets. There'll be a general sale from 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Okay, 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon at afc.co.uk/etickets. I dare say that might go online at some point as well.
You would think so, wouldn't you?
On our outlets. Now, in other news, Peterhead got their season off to a flyer with a 3-0 victory over Montrose in the Petrofac Cup. Tomorrow they're likely to face a tougher test when they meet Scottish Premiership new boys Dundee at Dens in the first round of our Cup. I was rather hoping that they'd stop playing for our Cup once we'd won it and that would be it, but no, apparently they're keeping going with it. League Cup first round, Dundee versus Peterhead, Platoon boss Jim McAnally.
The players are really looking forward to it. They don't often get a chance to play against an SPL team. Obviously, there'll be a decent crowd at the game, which is something, you know, we obviously played at Ibrox in the last couple of seasons, but to go away from home and play an SPL team, I can sense that the players are looking forward to it. Although, for me personally, a week on Saturday against Stirling Albion is more important than what our season's about. But hopefully we can go on Saturday and just enjoy the day. In all truth, that's what the situation is that really we shouldn't have a chance. But, you know, it's one of the things, if we can stay in the game for any length of time, or we don't go behind Delhi or whatever, you know, we are strikers, we've got a chance of stealing a goal for somewhere, or, you know, it doesn't even need to be a chance in the box. We've got guys that can score for outside the box, you know. So, you know, if we could stay in the game, that would be really good, because then I would begin to think that we could maybe steal something. But, I mean, I know that's a long shot, but that's the way you've got to approach the game, and I've got belief in our players that if they have a good day, and Dundee don't have such a good day, then anything's possible.
In the Highland League, champions Brora Rangers start their campaign at home tomorrow against Huntly. Cove Rangers travel to Inverness to meet Clach. Forest host Fraserburgh, Bucky Thistle are at Fort William. Lossiemouth welcome Keith. Nuncanty take on for Martin United. Inverurie Locos at Rothes tomorrow following a 3-2 win over Turriff in the Aberdeenshire Cup midweek. Manager Kenny Cole spoke to us afterwards.
The guys are proud of the fitness, and I think that showed there. You know, people like Barr and Goldie got sharper as the game went on. Chances started being created, so generally very happy with that.
A shortish kind of away trip. It's a slightly longer one now and then, another longer one, Rothes and Nairn together.
Yeah, no, we'll worry about Rothes first, obviously. But it was a tough one tonight that we had full focus on, and we'd like to come away with the win in that.
What do you know about Rothes? Probably be a few changes. But
there will be a few, not too much, to tell you the truth. You know, in the honest days, we'll worry about our own team. We need to get a team in a park that we feel that we can do a job, and tonight proved that we can do that. So we go into Saturday with a bit of confidence now when we start the season.
Also back this weekend are the juniors, Steve.
Yep, with the Girl League Cup section games taking centre stage, and both of last year's finalists, winners Banks at E and runners-up Cooter, are in Section 5. Banks at E are at home to Bridge of Don Thistle, and Maud are at Cooter. Back to Section 1, it's Ellen United versus Hall Russell United in an all-Super League tie. Sunnybank, they travel to Lossie United. Section 2, Buckenhaven Hearts versus Nairn St Ninian, and Port Gordon Victoria up against Parkvale. In Section 3, Deverance side go to Islevale. Stonehaven entertain Longside. Section 4, Dufftown versus FC Stonywood. Bankry St Ternan away to Fraserburgh United. Section 6 is New Elgin versus Hermes. White Hills against Cruden Bay. And in Section 7, Forest Thistle, they welcome Newmacker United, whereas Colony Park travel to Glentanner. In Section 8, Bucky Rovers up against Inverness City, and Luge United against East End, a local derby there. And the one non-Girl League Cup game is in the PMAC Group, First Division West, and it's Granton against Birkhead Thistle.
Just let me briefly go back to Highland League, because I've noticed that unusually for me, I've done something slightly wrong. I missed a couple of Highland League games. Strathspey Thistle versus Turriff United tomorrow. And finally, Deveronville at Wick Academy. Brora just ran away with that league last year, Dave. Mm. Can you see anyone challenging them this year?
It's going to be very difficult, isn't it? I don't think they'll run away with it to the same extent. I think if the other clubs kind of gang up on Brora and all take points off Brora, then it'll be a bit more competitive. I can't see past, unfortunately, for the other clubs, Brora retaining the title. I think, though, the likes of Cove, you know, under John Sherrin, they'll have a point to prove. You know, Inverurie Locos, clubs like that, I think they'll get a bit closer for Martin as well.
Okay. Inverurie Locos for Martin, Cove Rangers and Brora. Dave's tipping there. Now, still to come before seven, some of this week's local winners from Glasgow 2014 and the latest headlines in the Commonwealth Games on the way next on North Sound 1's Friday Sport.
North Sound 1 Friday Sport with Dunlop Oil and Marine, a world leader in the design, manufacture and supply of hoses for the oil, gas and petrochemical industries.
North Sound 1, keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie, Balmoore and across the Highland League. This is Friday Sport.
Now, Glasgow 2014 continues through the weekend, but earlier in the week, local representation came from shooter Jen McIntosh, who became Scotland's most decorated medalist in Games history at the age of just 23, taking that title from her mum. As she came back down to earth, she took the time to speak to Dave Galloway for North Sun One's Friday Sport.
The support's just been absolutely incredible. The atmosphere up at the range was phenomenal. You know, just so grateful to everybody that came along to show their support.
How do you build on this achievement then?
Well, hopefully going to World Championships next month. And then I guess onwards to Rio.
You're following in the family, really, aren't you? Following in family footsteps. Tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just always been inspired by both my parents' successes over the years, and just always wanted to do what they did and win medals and be successful in the sport. And, you know, just immensely proud that I've had that opportunity to do that at home games as well.
You've set the bar really high now, Jen. Do you feel any pressure to, you know, better your already great achievements?
Yeah, I mean, I'm that kind of person, you know. I'm always sort of, you know, it's that whole like attitude of better never stops. You know, there's always improvements to be made, and you know, I'll keep striving to better myself every opportunity. And if that means winning more medals, then that means winning more medals.
Has it sunk in, or do you think about you know, the fact that, you know, you now have won more medals for Scotland in the Commonwealth Games than any other woman in history? Is that something that you think about at all?
Yeah, not really. It's not, you know, people keep saying that, and I just find it hard to put that together, that, you know, that sort of title, put that together with myself and what I've achieved. It's quite bizarre for me, really.
Jen and her mum and her dad, all handy with a rifle. Never fall out with that family.
Mm.
In wrestling, it still sounds odd to say this, Old Meldrum's Viral Etko.
Yes.
Struck gold for Scotland and spoke to North Sun One's Conor Gillis.
I had a long career and very eventful. So I've wrestled for GB in Scotland almost over a decade, to be honest. And it took me all over the world. Had various experience competing in Commonwealth Championships and competing in World Championships and European Championships, but this is by far the biggest achievement and most proudest moment I've experienced, to be honest, in front of a home crowd, friends, family. It's great.
And what's next for you then?
Well, I've not really given a much thought, but this is pretty much kind of the end of the road for me as a competitor. But I've been coaching since I was 18, and coaching is my profession, so I'm just lucky that I can do both, be a successful athlete and also make the transfer to become a successful coach.
Is that you retiring then? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much. So at my age, you got to be fortunate to end up with a medal around your neck, and I had a long career and eventful. So, you know, it's not much up there. I mean, there's another 4 years or two years, I should say, for an Olympic cycle, and then another four for a Commonwealth. But we have young guys behind, and hopefully they got inspired from it, and I should be there, part of the process already, which we already started in Glasgow, you know, and I hope to see them being on the medal podium, winning their medals and making history for Scotland.
Making history for Scotland. Viral Etko. It's an accent that's made up of a few different places, that
there
one.
There is. Yeah.
And well done to him and to Jen McIntosh. And of course, we still have representation from this part of the world, Zoe Clark in the 4x400 metres relay heats this evening, Dave.
Yeah, that's right. The best of luck there to Zoe. The latest gold medal that Scotland won today, it was Dan Purvis. He won gold on the parallel bars. The medal table, it just looks fantastic. You know, this
still
is
fourth, aren't we?
Yeah, but this has exceeded all expectations. I think we started with a target of 34 medals. We're now sitting at 46. That's 16 gold, 13 silver, and 17 bronze. That is a magnificent effort.
Fantastic, isn't it? And there's a feel-good factor, I think.
Of course, yeah.
Throughout the games. There was someone that represented Scotland, a suit, you know me, I don't go for names, a suit from Scotland saying, well, now that we've hit that first target, let's go for the second one of 50. And I would think that's probably pretty attainable at this stage. In today's news, the world's waiting Usain Bolt's arrival this evening when he runs relay for Jamaica. And hopefully he doesn't get chinned by Clyde the mascot the way past the blocks as he comes out.
That'd be funny.
Gold again for Scotland, as you mentioned. Dan Purvis won the men's parallel bars. Scotland's David Peacock, Neil Spears, Paul Foster and skip Alec Marshall won gold in the bowls fours final against England and struck their version of Usain's lightning bolt again. Mo's got the robot. We've got this. Yeah, you know the sign. And I'm off to watch...
the salute.
I'm off to watch the badminton semi-finals at the Emirates tomorrow. I can't wait. It's been a great game, guys, hasn't it? Highlights?
Unfortunately...
You're not going to say John Barrowman, are you?
No, I missed that. I was over in Groningen at that point. But, I haven't seen too much of it just because we have been involved in the football throughout. But, I was getting updated last night about Ellie Child, how she was getting on, and a silver for her, so which was great. As I keep mentioning, I've got an affinity with the Scottish netball team because I did the announcing for them on more than one occasion. So they did reasonably well. They finished eighth, I think it was, which their target was top 10. So that's a big improvement for them. But no, I think that you get the odd journalist, sadly, who tries to, I think, just be controversial by knocking it. And I mean, the example I would use is, you know, saying it's third, it's not the world's best, but you know, the Six Nations rugby doesn't feature the world's best rugby countries yet. No. It's still a top, and it's the same as anything. It's the Commonwealth Games. We know the countries that are involved, and it's been fantastic for Scotland, fantastic for Glasgow. And with a couple of exceptions, like the weightlifter that chinned the other weightlifter, it has been a fairly friendly game.
The Australian.
Yeah, so, I think, you know, you're going down to the closing ceremony, Dave.
Yeah, that's going to be fantastic.
Are you taking part, Dave?
Yeah.
Are you on before or after Kylie?
Yeah, I'm doing backing vocals.
I'm spinning.
That's
around.
The one. And unless I get lost,
we'd all
of
be
course.
If he was.
I think they might have pumped gas through the roof tiles before we came on. I know there are a lot of Northeast representatives in the Commonwealth Games, but the one that always keeps coming back to mind for me is Hannah Miley. Achieving her objective basically on day one when she won gold, but she competed in seven events.
Yeah, I know.
At the swim meet, and she got to the final, I think, in all of them.
Yeah,
and came fourth in two of them, which are, I mean, I know it's swimming, and she should be good at it because she is, but they're not her discipline of choice normally. So she did fantastically well.
In the 800 meters freestyle final before. The final, which she just breezed through to the final. It emerged just before the final that she was just treating the final as a training session.
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing.
Fantastic. I think she might have lost her keys for her house in the Athletes Village and she's just stuck by the pool. She's just in the showers. Maybe drinking a Veruca in between.
Fantastic.
You know,
what a great example.
That sort of thing. Now, the tennis world, Dave, US Open, there's word that Rafa might not...
Yeah, he's got a wrist injury, which he's withdrawn from the Rogers Cup in Canada next week. And it doesn't look as though he's going to be playing any pre-tournaments ahead of the US Open, which gets underway later this month. He is the defending champion, so it would be a big loss for the organisers. And of course, it does mean that his hard court preparations are not going to exactly be ideal anyway. So,
I can see inside your head you're running up the Andy Murray flag.
Yes,
here.
Yes, of course.
It's one down, isn't it?
It is one down still, unfortunately, for Andy. Lots to go, but it's a tournament he knows how to win it because he did so 2 years ago. Nadal, it's just this, the injury problems do seem, you know, if it's knee, which has caused him to miss Grand Slams, and here's a wrist problem and another slam just, potentially missing.
Yeah, you do see it though in sportsmen a lot when, and I don't know if it's like a mind thing, but once they get one serious injury, they tend to go through a situation where they'll trip a couple of times and get other injuries as well.
Yep, no, it's true. And the US Open will be interesting because it'll be interesting to see the likes of Dimitrov, who, of course, ended Andy's chances, how he gets on.
He's because one for the future,
isn't
he?
Yeah, definitely. And the nearer future rather than later. Closer to home on Sunday, the North East Open gets underway at Colts. Rafa's not taking part in that one either because of his wrist injury, obviously.
Are you, Dave? Are you taking part in
that? No, I'm not. Although, but that's one that the under-12s... A certain Andy Murray did win not that long ago, and it's great because his name's on, and the kids that take part in that particular event, they see his name.
Fantastic.
You know, so what an incentive.
Oh, what an inspiration.
Yeah, absolutely. So that gets underway all week at Colts, starting on Sunday.
Okay, right, so we'll look out for that. Will you be there doing any sort of presentations or anything as you normally end up doing?
Only if they can't get anybody else better.
Okay.
But yeah, I'll be paying a few visits for that one, definitely.
Okay, our podcast online shortly, and of course, all eyes on Pittodrie Thursday night for Aberdeen FC against Real Sociedad. Have a great weekend.
North Sound 1 Friday Sport with Dunlop Oil and Marine, servicing the oil, gas and petrochemical industries. Dunlop-oil-marine.co.uk.